ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 25 एंटाइटल्ड द ग्लोरीज ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। यद्यद् विधत्ते भगवान् स्वच्छन्दात्मात्ममाया तानि मे श्रद्धधानस्य कीर्तन्यायनुकीर्तया। यद्यद् विधत्ते भगवान् स्वच्छन्दात्मात्ममाया तानि मे श्रद्धधानस्य कीर्तन्यन्यानुकीर्तयन्। यत्यत् वाट् एवर् विधत्ते हि पर्फॉर्म्स् भगवान् द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड स्वच्छन्द आत्मा फुल ऑफ सेल्फ डिजायर आत्ममाया by his internal potency tani all of them me to me shraddhadhanasya faithful kirtanyani worthy of praise anukirtaya please describe. Therefore please precisely describe all the activities and pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is full of self-desire and who assumes all these activities by his internal potency. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The word anukirtaya is very significant. Anukirtaya means to follow the description, not to create a concocted mental description, but to follow. Shaunaka Rishi requested Suta Goswami to describe what he had actually heard from his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord manifested by his internal energy. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, but he can assume any kind of body by his supreme will that is made possible by his internal energy. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे इज द ऑस्पिशियस अपियरेंस डे ऑफ भक्तिविनोद ठाकुर महाशय। वी विल डिस्कस फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्स एंड देन वी विल हियर the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As we can see in this purport, the word anukirtaya is very significant, very important, because we are following in disciplic succession. We are following in parampara, where the knowledge, the truth, is being passed down from guru to disciple. We are not here to concoct, we are not here to present our own ideas or to have some innovation in terms of knowledge. Rather, we are simply following in footsteps of previous acharyas. So this purport looks very significant for today's presentation, because today is the Avirbhava Mahotsav of Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As we can see here, Shaunaka Rishi requested Suta Goswami as he had heard from his spiritual master, Srila Sukadev Goswami. In the same way, we can see the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, how he presented the eternal teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, and how Srila Prabhupada eventually followed in the footsteps of this great Acharya, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. So today's class will be primarily focused on the life and teachings of Bhaktivinod Thakur. So I will try to read the pranam mantra for Bhaktivinod Thakur, as we are all familiar with. I can read line by line and you can repeat after me. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Sachidananda Namine, Gaura Shakti Swarupaya, Rupanukavarayate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sachidananda Bhaktivinod, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So here, even in this verse, the connection to parampara is very clearly established. Two primary points. One is, Bhaktivinod Thakur is representing the eternal tradition that is coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Goswamis of Vrindavan, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Second, Bhaktivinod Thakur is invested with the energy, the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, today in this talk, we will see how Bhaktivinod Thakur emanated this transcendental energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, if we see the life of Bhaktivinod Thakur, we can see he was a great visionary. He established the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a prolific writer. He authored many books and many song books, many songs. He removed many of the misconceptions that were present during his time about devotional service. At that time, Mahaprabhu's teachings were almost lost. And at that point, Bhaktivinod Thakur established the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And also, he exposed many pseudo-incarnations who were present at his time. So today, we will try to see the life of Bhaktivinod Thakur and his teachings. And to start with, we will look into the historical movement in which Bhaktivinod Thakur appeared. It is very significant. Because in 1486, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he had his contemporaries. Later, all the Goswamis taught the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then some great acharyas appeared, who followed in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, who continued the eternal teachings of Lord Chaitanya. However, when about 200 years passed, things changed. Even though Mahaprabhu firmly established that the real medicine, the real panacea for this disease or bhavarog in the age of Kali is chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this congregational chanting was almost lost. And the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya was almost lost. That is the period in which Bhaktivinod Thakur appeared. The British Raj, the rulers of British government, and the educated Indians, they considered Vaishnavas to be just mendicants, people who had no value, just beggars in the street. And they considered the Vaishnavas to be just sentimentalists. And indeed, many of the so-called Vaishnavas acted in a very improper manner. To emphasize and to highlight this particular historical moment, even most of the authoritative scriptures were almost lost. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to search for more than 8 years to get a bona fide copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the historical narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his teachings. He had to wait for 8 years to get a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now if you see, if you go to any homes of the devotees or if you go to ashrams, you find multiple copies of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the ashram, maybe in each room there will be one copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if we have all the smartphones, we can see everyone has a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita handy. And at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to wait for more than 8 years to get a bona fide copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can understand how the teachings of Lord Chaitanya was misconstrued by unworthy people. And in 1838, Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared as Kedarnath Datta in the village of Ulagrama in the district of Nadia in West Bengal. And he was the seventh son of Raja Krishnanand Datta. So in fact, if you try to understand the birth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a very aristocratic birth. He was born in a wealthy family. He recollects that in his family, he had hundreds of servants who were ready to serve Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this was the wealthy position of the family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So many servants, so much of wealth, so much of land, everything. But interestingly enough, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to see both sides of the coin. He had to see the ups and he had to see the down. So at the time of birth, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very rich. But later, we see that he had to go through really a poverty-stricken situation. It's mentioned that after in 1849, when he was 11 years old, his father passed away. And after that, they had to go through a poverty-stricken situation. So they lost all the money. And that time, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur was quite philosophical. He started thinking, what is this life all about? What is the meaning of life? Why such turmoil is going through in our family, in my life? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was quite philosophical. Even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an eternal servant of the Lord, a Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect devotee, he manifested himself the pastime in which he found himself to be a seeker. Just like an ordinary person would go through difficulties and then he would start thinking, what is this life all about? In the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started thinking, what is this life all about? And he also went through different literatures. He went through Ramayana, Mahabharata, different other Puranas. He went through Kali Purana, Annada Mangal. He went through all different scriptures. And finally, he came in touch with the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is mentioned that he also very thoroughly studied Quran and Bible. And when he would lecture or when he had conversation, he could thoroughly quote Quran and Bible. So he was well-versed in all the Puranas. He was well-versed in Bible and Quran. So he had a very vast knowledge of religious scriptures in general. So he was examining different scriptures. So as I explained earlier, he was just like a seeker who would go through different scriptures and would try to find out what is the highest scripture. So he went through all the scriptures, including the Vedic literatures and non-Vedic literatures. Interestingly enough, he came up with one conclusion, that he had studied Shankaracharya's monistic philosophy Advaitavad, the impersonalism. And he had also studied Christianity. So he was attracted more to Christianity than impersonalism, because he found the theology of Christianity to be less offensive to the Lord in comparison to Shankaracharya's Advaita philosophy. So it's interestingly, he was more attracted to Christianity. And even from his childhood, he had the mood of service, because he was born in a big family. He had many siblings. And of all the siblings, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was looking a bit ugly. He was not very handsome in comparison to his other brothers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mother told him that you can act as a servant of all. And in that way you live long and you be a servant of all your siblings. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur took that mood. He acted as a servant of all the living entities, as a perfect Vaishnava. As we know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his writings are just so amazing. If we see his life, he was a brilliant student. He mastered English language. He mastered writing and he could compose beautiful poems. In fact, he mastered many languages. Bengali, Odia, then English, Persian, like that. Many contemporary languages he mastered, and he could read, write, and he became an authority in those languages. He could write, he had such a command on those languages. So he was amazing. He was a brilliant, he was a genius from birth. It is said he started, as he grew up, he had his education. As he grew up, he started thinking, what should be my profession? So he found that business, he considered himself to be a businessman. Then he thought, to be a businessman means there has to be some inherent dishonesty. If somebody is completely honest, then one cannot be a businessman. So he considered, business is not for me. I have to take some honest occupation. Then he said, he was very good in language, so he got the profession as a teacher. And later he became a headmaster. He grew up in his profession. And ultimately, he became a district magistrate under British Raj. So it is considered very, very difficult for an Indian to come up to such a high position under the governors of the British, because they don't want any Indian to come up to such a level, such a high position. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so talented, and he was being admired by all the colleagues and all the British officials, that they recommended him to get such a high position. So we will see his life, we will see his ethics and morality. It is amazing. So now, there are few interesting pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So one of the pastimes is very relevant even to the current times. The reason is, in India, still there are so many pseudo incarnations. Even to till date, there are so many pseudo incarnations. So many people who claim themselves to be incarnations of God. So even at that time, we had to consider, this is about 150 years back, even then there were pseudo incarnations in Bengal. So it is said that this is particularly in Orissa. In 1873, there was one such pseudo-incarnation. Yeah, his name is Bishakisen. We might have heard about him. Bishakisen, very notorious in many ways. So he became so famous among the villagers because of his mystic siddhis. He had many mystic powers, and because of his mystic powers, he became very famous, because the villagers were, many of them were uneducated and they didn't know. And others who were educated, they couldn't distinguish between a real incarnation and a pseudo incarnation. So his powers were very interesting. If there is a fire, there is a big fire lighting up, he could sit erect And in between, he could lean towards the fire, into the flames of the fire. And he could be in the flame of the fire for some time, and then he could come back without getting injured. He could produce fire from his mouth, and he had dreadlocks. And sometimes from the dreadlocks, the fire, the sparks will come. This was his power. And he had the mystical powers to cure diseases. So if some villagers would come, then they would go glorify Bhishakisen as the Supreme Lord himself, and he would give some bhasma, some ashes, and soon the incurable disease would vanish forever. So Bhishakisen was very powerful, and obviously he became very popular. And he made a very important declaration. He said, "I am Mahavishnu. I am Mahavishnu, and I have appeared for a purpose." So he was very clear about his incarnation and the mission of the incarnation. As Shastra would say, any incarnation doesn't appear just like that. There is always a mission statement. In the same way, Bhishakisen also told he has a mission statement. He said his mission statement is that he would appear in the four-handed Vishnu form, and he would send all the Britishers away from India. So that was his power. He said all the Britishers would be defeated in a war, and all of them will flee away from India. So since he made this proclamation, the British government, they became a bit worried. So they wanted to investigate the matter, because this looked like a political uprising. And they thought, we had to take some action against this Bhishakisen. So they appointed Bhaktivinoda Thakur to do this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was appointed to investigate Bhishakisen and find out the matter and to arrest him. So this is a big task. It's very challenging because he had thousands of followers. And he had these mystical powers. So practically no one could touch him, because he can produce fire from his body. And people were very scared to go near him. And he had the power to curse people. So how can anyone go near Bhishakisen? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's a great devotee of the Lord. As we know, devotees of the Lord are fearless. So as a fearless Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went with hundreds of constables to arrest Bhishakisen. So it is said, as he went to Bhishakisen, Bhaktivinoda Thakur investigated among villagers what's really going on. So some of them were glorifying Bhishakisen. They were saying he is the Supreme Lord himself. And some others told that some of their wives were kept by Bhishakisen, and in nights he used to perform Rasa Leela, so Rasa dance. And he used to engage in illicit affairs with this woman. So there was a lot of problems in the village, because many of the women being abused by Bhishakisen. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took this into serious consideration. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went with all these constables to arrest Bhishakisen. And in fact, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur met Bhishakisen, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told Bhishakisen that you have to surrender and you have to come with me to Puri. So Bhishakisen denied. He had the mystical power. He said, I know who you are. You are the magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I know that you have kept many constables hidden in the forest, in the jungle. Because this yogi was not living in a town or a village. He was in the jungle living with his associates, where always there used to be a sacrificial fire, and he used to sit near that. So he refused to stay in the city or in the village or in the town, but only in the jungle. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already arranged many constables around him in the jungle. So Bhishakisen, he could read the mind. He told everything. And he also told that you are a great devotee. You are a very nice devotee. And he said, that great Supreme Lord is none other than me. I am Mahavishnu. And in fact, there is a trinity. There was a Mahavishnu, the maintainer, and there was a Brahma, and there was a Sadashiv. All three appeared. So Bhishakasena was not alone. There was a trinity at that time. Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. All of them passed there as incarnations. Then Bhishakasena had the audacity to say that I am Mahavishnu, and also he said I am coming from the Kshirodaka ocean. I am coming from the milk ocean. So Bhishakasena told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I am coming from the milk ocean. And he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that I will remove all the Europeans from India. I have the power to do that. And it is just a matter of time. I can do anything. And in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhishakasena started showing different magics, different siddhis. He took people, the villagers were there, they were pouring into the presence of Bhishakasena. So he cured different diseases. He produced fire. So he did different magics in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not at all impressed. He considered Bhishakasena just as an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. And he was very much determined to arrest Bhishakasena, because he is claiming himself to be God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhishakasena was there in this forest. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Bhishakasena, why are you living in the forest? If you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to be in Jagannath Puri. Because the Lord is never in the forest. He is always living in the palace. Because he is the possessor of all the six opulences. So why are you in the forest? Why not come to Jagannath Puri? I have come here to take you to Jagannath Puri. So why not come with me? So Bhishakasena again offended the Supreme Lord. He said, what's the use of Jagannath? Jagannath is just a plank of wood. That's it. I am the Supreme Lord. And he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my dear devotee. So this was the proclamations made by Bhishakasena. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much offended by such statement. He was very angry. What is really going on? So, finally he said, you are also my devotee. Who? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you are also my devotee. And when the Hindu kingdom would be established in India, I'll give you a big position. I'll make you the governor of Orissa. So in that way, he tried to allure Bhaktivinoda Thakur by offering some positions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was definitely least interested in such statement. And he came up with so many policemen near this mystic yogi. So many of the followers started fleeing away because they were afraid. Because these police, they had rifles, they were armed. So the local people, they started fleeing away. And Bhishakasena, he became very angry. He said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that if I become angry, by the fire of my anger, I can burn all the three worlds into ashes. Hearing this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started laughing. He said, "Acha, then you come with me to Puri. There you can show your anger. You can burn all the three worlds into ashes. But now you come with me." So he arranged a bullock cart. And all the policemen took him. He said, okay, now you come and you can sit in the bullock cart. So there was a bit of time gap between he sent the policeman to get a bullock cart. And he told him, okay, I'm going to arrest him. That point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started preaching to this Bhishakasena. He said, why are you offending at the lotus feet of the Lord? You are not Vishnu. The purpose of whole life is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Why are you falsely claiming yourself to be the Supreme Lord? It doesn't make any sense. But of course, Bhishakasena was least ready to listen from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was, now he's being arrested and he's going to be put in the bullock cart. That time, Bhishakasena made a very classic statement. He said, ultimately, I am the Supreme Lord and you are my dear devotee. And because of that, the Supreme Lord is completely subjugated, completely captured by the love of his devotee. So since you are telling me to sit in the bullock cart, so I agree. I will sit in the bullock cart and I am ready to go to Jagannath Puri. So He used all this logic and finally he sat in the bullock cart and along with the constables he was taken to Puri. So there they decided to do the trial for this Bhishaki Singh. So it is mentioned that on the way to Jagannath Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also in the bullock cart. He started writing all the trial, all the documents, all the evidences against Bhishaki Singh. So we can see even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we will see how he utilized the time so efficiently and effectively. We can see even when he was traveling from this place, from Orissa to Jagannath Puri, he was making all the notes. So he was ready for the trial. So finally, he was brought in front of the judge, and you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has to pass the judgment. The trial went on for 18 days. How many days? 18 days. So you can understand, it's a big thing. It's a historic event because thousands of followers of this yogi, they assembled, they surrounded the court, and they were shouting, the injustice is going on in this world. Bhishaki Singh must be released right now. So, you know, there was a big following for this Bhishaki Singh. So it is mentioned, as the fifth day of the trial, Bhishaki Singh made an announcement. Bhishaki Singh told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that if you don't release me, I am threatening you, there is going to be a great mishap happening to your family. So it is better for you to release me right now. Stop this trial and release me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no. And as the yogi predicted, as he went home, a great mishap was about to take place. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter, 7-year-old daughter, Kadambini. She fell sick. And the sickness was so severe that Kadambini was about to die. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati Devidasi, she told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just please release Bhishaki Singh. Let our family be saved from the curse of this yogi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, even if all of us die, still I will not release Bhishaki Singh, because he is an offender at the lotus feet of Krishna. So I will never release him. He must be punished. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so strict. And finally, the last day of the trial, this yogi told that even you will die because of my curse. So as told, the last day when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went, he had such a severe pain. Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt that he is going to die. Such a severe pain, and he couldn't even make it to the court. So he was struggling just to get into the court, and finally with all the pain, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to the court and he passed the judgment that he will be punished for 1.5 years. So that was the punishment, imprisonment for 1.5 years. At that point, yogi became so angry, and from his dreadlocks, fire started coming. Everyone was scared, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur was least bothered by such magical feats. At that time, there was an English officer. He used to study a lot about different mystical yogis. So what he did, as the trial was finished and the judgment was passed, this Englishman, he took a big scissors, must be a really a large scissor. He went and he started cutting the hair dreadlocks of this Bhishaki Singh. And in no time, he didn't have any hair on his head. That time, Bhishaki Singh, even though all these 18 days, Bhishaki Singh didn't eat anything, he didn't drink anything, but he had full energy. But when his dreadlocks was completely removed, he actually fell, he collapsed. Then he was taken in a stretcher from the court to the prison house. So it is said that all the mystic yogis, they store their energy, the mystical energies in the dreadlocks, in the hair, in the dreadlocks. He had a long hair and it was full of energy, all full of mystical energy. So now he had no energy. And it is said, 3 months he spent in the jail. After that, this pseudo-incarnation committed suicide by drinking poison. That was the end of Bishakisen. It is said soon after that, one another Balaram came about. He was also arrested. And there was another Brahma who took charge of Bishakisen's group. He was also arrested. So in that way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he removed all these misconceptions. All these pseudo-incarnations who were offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna. So it is said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur played such a great role in re-establishing the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He removed the obstacles in the path of devotion by these pseudo-incarnations and pseudo-swamis who would cheat people, claiming themselves to be God. It is mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was staying in Puri, we had to see, even though he is a Nitya Siddha, he enacted himself as a sadhaka who is steadily progressing in his devotional service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself writes that I made most of my spiritual progress while staying in Jagannath Puri because of the holy association of many Paramahamsa Babajis. So in Jagannath Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started an association, a society called Bhagavat Samsat. And in Bhagavat Samsat, it was a group of devotees. They would assemble in Jagannath Ballabh Gardens, because Jagannath Ballabh Gardens is the bhajan place of Ramananda Roy, the associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all great devotees would assemble and they will discuss about Krishna. So all the great devotees of Jagannath Puri used to come to Jagannath Ballabh Garden and they used to discuss. But one Babaji, his name was Raghunath Das Babaji, he never came to this assembly. And he started dissuading others not to go to this assembly. He considered that Bhaktivinoda Thakur never wore Vaishnav Tilak, nor he had Kantimala. So since he didn't have Vaishnav Tilak and Kantimala, they started saying he's not a real devotee. So he is representing some upper sampradaya. He is not giving the pure teachings of the Lord. So we shouldn't go and associate with him. So this Raghunath Das Babaji, he was afflicted by a great disease. He was severely sick. And one night, Lord Jagannath himself came into the dream of Raghunath Das Babaji and told Raghunath Das that if you want to be cured from this serious illness, you had to go and you had to ask forgiveness from Bhaktivinoda Thakur for your offense. Otherwise, you will die. So then Raghunath Das Babaji, next day he got up and he went and fell at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and asked for forgiveness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a magnanimous Vaishnava, he completely forgave all the offenses he had committed. It was more verbal. He forgave all the offenses. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave some medicines. And in due course of time, Babaji was relieved from his disease. And it is said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this Babaji was actually a Paramahamsa. He was actually a Nitya Siddha, he says. He is also a Nitya Siddha Babaji. So we can see, even such a thing happened, how the Lord interferes and he actually rectifies the situation. The Lord doesn't want his pure devotee to be offended. So it shows the greatness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In fact, it is mentioned that one time Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting in Jagannath Puri in the Jagannath Mandir. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to Jagannath Puri Mandir pretty much every day, and he used to sit and he used to do bhajan in Jagannath Puri in the Jagannath Mandir. Near Mukti Mandap, there used to be a lot of Brahmanas who would assemble and who would talk about Mayavad philosophy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much offended by such activities. It is said that by the association of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many of these Mayavadis, they became devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of devotees in Bhakti Mandap in Puri, where Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya enacted their pastimes. So one day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam along with the devotees. Then the king of Puri appeared there. He came with all his entourage and he was creating such a havoc, such a noise. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was greatly offended by the act of king of Puri. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur directly chastised the king of Puri. He told king of Puri that you may be a king of a small kingdom, but Lord Jagannath is the Lord of the universe. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the eternal scripture. So you must pay all respects to the devotees and Srimad Bhagavatam. So King of Puri was taken aback and he paid respectful obeisances unto the devotees and Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had to surrender at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is interesting that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very determined when it comes to preaching, when it comes to upholding the standards of Vaishnavism. It is mentioned, we hear there that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not initiated when he was staying in Puri. Later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got initiated by Bipin Bihari Goswami. He was coming from the Sampradaya, coming from Janava Mata, the dear wife of Nityananda Prabhu. And later, in terms of his Diksha, he got his Diksha from Bipin Bihari Goswami, but he got his Shiksha from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So that's why we see he was very deeply, very intimately connected to Jagannath Das Babaji. So that's why when we see the parampara, we can see next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see the painting of Jagannath Das Babaji. Because the mood of worship, the teachings of Jagannath Das Babaji was very, very inspirational to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So they had a very intimate association, and also we will see their intimate association when Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. It is said one time the king of Jagannath Puri, king of Puri, the king of Orissa became very, very envious to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why? Because in 1874 the Raja misused 80,000 rupees. You had to understand, in 1874, 80,000 rupees was misused by the king. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur found out. And he passed a judgment that king had to offer 52 times per day the bhoga to Lord Jagannath. This was the punishment. But it's a very good punishment if we consider ourselves to be devotees. You had to go to Lord Jagannath and offer 52 times. Practically the whole day, the service of the king is going to be just offering bhoga to the Lord. Whole time in the kitchen and the altar. Every half an hour or more. The king has to be in the temple. He cannot do anything else. And he had to do this for, I think, at least 1 year. He has to do this service. So this was a punishment passed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for misappropriating the Lord's wealth. So the king was extremely angry with this punishment because he was just an enjoyer. So he thought, I want to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was devising a plot to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he understood, I cannot directly approach or kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because he was in the British Raj, he was in a high post, and at the same time he had such a big following. So if he tried to directly attack Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his position will be in danger. So he didn't want to take any direct steps. So what he did, he organized a 30 days yagya, a 30 days fire sacrifice. And for this fire sacrifice, he appointed 50 brahmanas. So they would do this sacrifice in the tantra format, and every day they will offer different oblations into the fire. And the ultimate result is that at the end of 30th day, when the final oblations are poured into the fire, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be dead. So this was the system, this was the arrangement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was, he is an administrator. He is very smart. So he knew what is going on. But he was least bothered by this act. He didn't do anything. He just continued his bhajan. He continued his chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He continued reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And he didn't do anything about it. So on the 30th day, when this priest offered the final oblations into the fire, instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the king's own son was dead. And that was a big thing. Then the king was completely devastated and he learned the lesson. Trying to kill a pure devotee of the Lord. So we can see how the Supreme Lord always protects his pure devotees. And no one could do anything. Rather, if they try to curse or if they try to punish or to try to kill such a pure devotee, it is reversed. Everything is coming back upon themselves. Just like Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Because Durvasa Muni tried to kill Ambarish Maharaj by producing a demon. But what happened? And did Ambarish Maharaj do anything to protect himself? He did nothing. He continued his bhajan. But the Lord protected. So in the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't do anything to protect himself, but the Lord took care. So instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur being killed, the king's own son got killed. So this is a very significant lesson. And a very important contribution. So all these things actually helped to establish the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Because we will see further that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote so many books and he established the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he removed different obstacles in the path of devotion. And another very important contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is discovering the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Because Mahaprabhu appeared in 1786, and after that, 1486, after that, centuries have passed, and devotees didn't know where Mahaprabhu took birth. And in fact, people started saying that Nadia was the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. So many people staying in Nadia, they wanted Nadia to be the place of pilgrimage. So they just proclaimed that Nadia is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one day, he was sleeping in Tarakeshwar. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sleeping in Tarakeshwar, there was a dream. In that dream, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared. And Lord Chaitanya told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "I understand your desire to go to Vrindavan. You can go to Vrindavan, but before that, you have to perform a very important act. That is to finding out my birthplace. So please do that. After that you can go to Vrindavan." So after this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was completely enthusiastic to perform his mission, to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, because that is very, very significant for his time of devotees and his followers. We can see now there is a place of worship in Mayapur for Lord Chaitanya. It is by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has to do serious research. If you try to understand the character of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just like Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, he asked so many specific questions, so many detailed questions to get answers from Sukadev Goswami. He was like a thorough researcher. Whatever he studied, he was so thorough in his study. He would study, in fact, exhaustively, and he could come to the right conclusions. Let it be about Shastra, let it be about the cases that he deal with in the court, or let it be history, or let it be the history of the place. So he could study anything very, very thoroughly and systematically. We can see in his writings how systematically Bhaktivinoda Thakur would present anything. So now, when it comes to finding the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, he took this same approach. He was so logical, he was so rational, and he studied everything thoroughly. So one time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went to different local residents of Mayapur and Nadia, and he started inquiring. So some of them said that birthplace of Lord Chaitanya is Navadvip, and some told that the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya is lost because Ganges has changed its course So now there is no more birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was completely dissatisfied with both these answers. So he wanted really to find where is this birthplace. He traveled around Navadvip, he traveled around in Mayapur, but he couldn't find the birthplace. He asked many people, but he couldn't find. But one day he was camping, one interesting thing happened. One Saturday evening, the Thakur was sitting on the roof of the Rani Dharmashala in Navadvip with his third son Kamala Prasad and a friend who was a clerk, and along with a friend who was a clerk. It was 10 o'clock in the night, very dark, as the sky was covered with clouds. The Thakur gives account. Across the Ganges, in the northern direction, I saw a large mansion flooded with light. When I asked Kamal about this, he confirmed that he had seen it also. When I asked the clerk, he said, I didn't see anything. I was utterly amazed by that. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing. I was utterly amazed by that. When I looked carefully at that area in the morning from the roof of Rani's house, I saw a palm tree located there. Inquiring from others about the place, they said it was known as Balaldi Ki, which was near the ruins of the old fort and kingdom of Lakshman Sen. Upon inquiring of various persons, Thakur learned that adjacent to this place was the large pond of King Balal Sen, from which the town got its name. And aside from that, there was nothing of importance. The following Saturday, he went to Balal Dighi, where at night he again had a wonderful vision. He spent the next day wandering all over the site. The elderly locals told him that this was indeed the location of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. They pointed out an extensive mound covered with tulsi plant as a site of his appearance. So, first, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this vision. From Navadvip, he could see a large light and a mansion in the site of birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Second, when he went, he found the local villagers, who some of them elderly people, they told this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And there was a mound, there was only tulsi plant was growing. It is said that they tried to remove the tulsi, but they couldn't. It was only one plant was growing, that was tulsi at that area. So this was the second confirmation. First, he could see his vision. Second, there was some confirmation in terms of tulsi plant and the local villagers. But he was not just satisfied. This is very interesting, because someone would get satisfied with, okay, I understood, okay, this must be the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not satisfied with that. He continued his research. He took different old manuscripts and he started to inquire about this place. And he found out that in the old maps, this place was known as Mayapur. So he got the map of Ganga Govinda Singh and other kings who ruled there centuries before. And he found that this place was actually known as Mayapur. And then finally, he found a scriptural reference. So he didn't just take it for granted. Rather, he found a scriptural reference. In Bhakti Ratnakara, it is, you know, the Narahari Sarkar, he has written the Bhakti Ratnakara, in which there is a statement, Navadiva Mathe Mayapur Namstan Yathara Janami Lena Gorachandra Bhagavan. In the center of Navadiva, there is a place called Mayapur. At this place, the Supreme Lord Gorachandra took his birth. So then he understood this old maps, there is a place known as Mayapur. He found Mayapur where it is. And he could get the scriptural reference where this name of Mayapur is already mentioned. Still, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not satisfied with this. As a final confirmation, he approached his spiritual master, Jagannath Das Babaji. So what he did, Jagannath Das Babaji was 120 years old at that time. And he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand. He was completely lean. He was almost like crushed, like a small baby, because he was so lean forward. He couldn't stand. He was taken in a basket because of his old age. He couldn't even walk. So one person carried Jagannath Das Babaji in a basket and they started walking through Mayapur. So the point when they reached the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath Das Babaji leaped up in ecstasy and he started crying out, Eto Nimai Janmabhumi. He leaped in the air and he started dancing and he started crying out, Eto Nimai Janmabhumi. This is indeed the birthplace of Lord Nimai. So from this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirmed, okay, this must be the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, because ultimately he cross-checked from his spiritual master, Jagannath Das Babaji. So he heard from some sadhus, he saw the history, he found scriptural evidence, and also he confirmed from his own spiritual master. And interestingly enough, at this age, Jagannath Das Babaji couldn't see anything. He was blind. So even though he was blind, he couldn't even open the eyes. He was blind. So when he reached this point, he jumped out and he started crying out. This is the birthplace of our Nimai. So that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirmed the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And it is very interesting. After retirement, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted this place to be worshipped and he wanted to establish the deities of Lord Chaitanya at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. For that, he went on a mission. And the mission was fundraising. So he didn't have a fundraising dinner. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's fundraising technique was very interesting. What was it? He would collect only 1 rupee from one family. He went house to house in thousands and thousands of houses in Calcutta. And he would beg for just 1 rupees. That's all. And he will collect only, even though well-to-do people, they may be ready to offer more money, he wouldn't collect. So his idea was that as many people as possible should be engaged in constructing a temple in the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So he went on this mission and he collected sufficient funds to build the temple at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Think about this. And people were really amazed to see the humility of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He went just as a beggar, door to door, begging for 1 rupee to build the temple for Lord Chaitanya. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was a magistrate. He was high up in the pedestal. And from there, he just dropped down just as a beggar. And he went door by door and he begged to construct this temple. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is mentioned that his character was so down to earth. And he had no duplicity. And he was morally so intact. All the British people, they used to respect Bhaktivinoda Thakur like anything. His work was so clear and he was so strict. And he was way, way above corruption. It is said he was so magnanimous. He was so charitable. And he didn't find fault in anything and anyone. And if he had to criticize or if he had to correct someone, he would make sure that he is the right person to take the action. He wouldn't criticize or he wouldn't correct anyone. See, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an eternal associate of the Lord, but he wouldn't correct anyone unless and until he finds himself at the right time and he is in the suitable position, then he would correct someone. Otherwise, he wouldn't correct anyone. He chastised many, all the pseudo incarnations. He chastised many other people, but he was in the right position and he understood it is his duty, then he corrected. Otherwise, he wouldn't take a step to correct anyone. So all his colleagues, all other people, they considered Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be such a gentle person, such a nice person. Everyone liked the association of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I have to mention definitely about writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because he was a prolific writer. He authored around 100 books in different languages. It is mentioned, if someone can write one book of that caliber, then his life is successful. Just one book. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur authored 100 books. And apart from that, he composed hundreds and hundreds of poems glorifying the Supreme Lord. Including Jai Radha Madhav. Srila Prabhupada instituted chanting of Jai Radha Madhav every day in his own temples. That is composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it is such a great writer. It is mentioned that his main works are Krishna Samhita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Jaiva Dharma, Tatsu Sutra, Tattva Viveka and Harinama Chintamani. major works. About 100 books are there, but these are considered the major works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when I read something, I look into the writing style, in the sense how they are coming to the conclusions. So how systematically everything is presented, I have a natural habit of looking into it. So when I have a look at any of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, one will be amazed how there is a proper introduction, how the points are built systematically, and how there is a conclusion. We can't find any perfect writing than that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Amazing writer. Whatever you read of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's just amazing. So systematic. You cannot be more systematic than this. Such a profound writing. And we will see his daily routine, then we'll be amazed how he managed to do such an enormous task throughout his life. It is said he was writing till the last days. It is said in the last days, even he was even going through his previous works, and he was even fine-tuning his previous works. He was so diligent, dedicated, and sharp even during his last days. So I'll just go through his daily routine, which is very inspirational. And why we are reading the daily routine of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is showing the great quality of a devotee who doesn't want to waste even a single moment of his life. Avyartha Kalatam. He wanted to glorify the Supreme Lord all the time. It is said, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. he used to take rest for 2 hours. 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. he used to write. See, 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. he used to write. See, this 100 books he wrote when? During the night. 6 hours during the night. Think about after 2 hours, if he tried to think something. Forget about writing. To write something, your mind has to be so clear, we cannot even think properly something. Rather, we'll go crazy. So, 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. he was writing. 4 a.m. 4 till 4:30 a.m. rest. Half an hour sleep again. Then 4:30 till 7 a.m. chanting Japa. He had solid 2.5 hours to chant Japa. He was not just 2.5 hours to chant Japa. Then 7 a.m. till 7:30 a.m. correspondence. 7:30 a.m. till 9:30 a.m. study Shastra. See, 2 hours of study even for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. 2 hours of Shastra for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, take into account. Then 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. court duties. It is said, 3 hours, right? What other British magistrate, they would take 1.5 hours or 2 hours to pass a judgment, he would do it in 5 minutes. And some of the Britishers, they became envious of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They tried to discourage Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he was least affected by that. He continued his routine, and finally all of them honored and admired Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is the greatness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So 3 hours he performed all the court duties. So he could pass hundreds of cases in 1 or 2 days. And 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. refresh at home. 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. court duties again. It's a full day of work. Think about that. He was a grihastha. He was performing 2 till 5, 3, 4, 5. How many hours of work? 6 hours of work. How can we complain? Then 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. translate Sanskrit Shastra to Bengali. 2 hours. Then 7 p.m. till 8 p.m. bath prasadam. Prasadam was 1/2 liter milk, rice and 2 chapatis. So that's it. It is said, in summary, he used to sleep for 3 hours. 3 hours of sleep, write for 8.5 hours, and japa and study, that is sadhana, 4.5 hours, and work for 6 hours. So this is the perfection of grihastha life. If we read this, we can have a poster and see who can follow this. This is the greatness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I had to make a very important point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so well connected to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so connected to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is said, because he was very innovative in preaching, he wrote English books and he sent to foreign libraries. So, in 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent copies of Lord Chaitanya, his life and precepts to McGill University in Canada. So he thought, I can spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya abroad, away from India, through my books. So he sent it in 1896, and that is the age, that is the year Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the deepest desire to spread Krishna consciousness outside of India. And Srila Prabhupada says, that is the year in which I took birth. So there is a deep connection between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So we will understand this further. Three important predictions were made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, so one is, a personality will soon appear, wrote Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that is none other than Srila Prabhupada. Second prediction, very soon the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come when people from America, England, France, Germany, Russia will take up kartals and mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their own towns? Yeah. Jai. It's amazing, isn't it? He predicted everyone will join and chant Krishna's names. The third prediction, when will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Sridhar Mayapur and join with Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana? When will that day be? So this is the prediction, three predictions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it is said, the last days of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spent in Jagannath Puri. Many days he spent in Jagannath Puri. And as we know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan kutir in Jagannath Puri is the ISKCON temple now. If you go near Haridas Thakur Samadhi, we can see ISKCON temple there. So that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan kutir. Then, even at the last minutes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur spent in writing, and he was practically applying the teachings of Harinam Chintamani and Jaiva Dharma in his own life by chanting holy names. He was continuously chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And one interesting pastime, that is, he took Babaji Vesh. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he renounced before going to Jagannath Puri, he renounced from his family life completely and from everything, and even from active preaching. He accepted Babaji Vesh, just a loin cloth and just a Bahurwas, another cloth, just two cloths in his body. And he accepted this Bahurwas from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is his own disciple. So because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was already a Babaji, so he had the right to give Babaji Vesh to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he refused completely to give Babaji Vesh. He said, you know, I am not qualified to give you Babaji Vesh. So one time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went to search for Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So he was searching everywhere. So that time Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, what he did, he went and sat in the house of a prostitute. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur couldn't find him. So after that, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he went to the public and he loudly started laughing and laughing and laughing. So everyone asked, what happened to you, Babaji? Why are you laughing so much? He said, look at this Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wanted to find me, but he couldn't find me. I tricked him because I hid myself in the house of a prostitute. Had I gone anywhere else, he would have found me. But this place, he didn't find me. Like that, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he became very happy tricking Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to find Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Then Bhaktisiddhanta, he found Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and requested him to come to the place of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji agreed, and he went, and where Bhaktivinoda Thakur got initiated into Babaji Vesh. So he just wore two cloths, just a white cloth, one kaupin and one outer cloth, that's it. And from there he started his last bhajan. So he went to Puri, he was doing his bhajan, and from there, final days, he went to Bhakti Bhavan. Bhakti Bhavan is in Calcutta, in the place of Calcutta. There he performed his final bhajan. And it is said, then he finally entered the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna in 1910, he entered the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So it is said that in the eternal pastimes, the original position of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Manjari. He's a Manjari Gopi, Kamala Manjari, who is an assistant of Srimati Radharani. So even though he was as Nitya Siddha, he's coming from the spiritual world, he enacted as a seeker, a sadhaka, who would go through different scriptures, who would go through a gradual spiritual evolution and coming up to the right scriptures and started to practice right scriptures, then one who would preach and get perfection. He acted as if he were a sadhaka siddha, but he was a Nitya Siddha, Kamala Manjari. So I will read a final writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He reasons ill who tells that the Vaishnava die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnava die to live, and living try to spread a holy life around. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Then all the words will disappear. Yeah. And you can pick whatever you want. And you need it, and you found it.
Yes. Thank you. No. That Lord Nityananda.
If you say also, we found that the emperor will be here very close to the birthplace. Son, they were sitting one night in the rooftop, and they found some light, and then he predicted there will be a big temple which
he
called for the making of
the evening. Then they were astounded. He couldn't see, but his son could see that there is a temple coming. That was the mission. Hare Krishna. Kanadashima Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj ki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Avirbhava Mahotsav ki, Jai.